Because I came here and I'm a radio freak in a way. I start listening to my little FM radio. Well, I was so fucking shocked how many... I'm sorry about the F word.
Beep. No, you can say fuck all you want to.
Okay.
This is free fucking radio.
Okay. Fucking free radio Berkeley. Okay. Well, I was so shocked that from the beginning till the end of the FM, whatever... band or something that's called here, it's packed with radios, and then you pick out one and then you start listening. Well, it's okay, you know, middle of the road mainstream music, but okay, sometimes it's nice to listen to mainstream music. And then after two songs you have some fucking commercials going on, and it's two, three commercials, and then they go back to another song, they go back to commercials again, and then blah 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 blah, and then call in now, blah 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 blah, and you can win this and that, CDs now, or tickets for that and that party. And then my god, you don't get any rest in your soul if you listen to those radio stations. You know, it's all so living in the fast lane. And it's exactly what the United States is about. Living in the fast lane. Big Cokes, big burgers, a lot of loud music, big cars, driving fast, and forget about, yeah, the people you love, you care, in your community, even your own street. You don't even know your neighbors. You know their cars, and you know the curtains. That's all.
Yeah, no, no, we know our neighbors. We just don't like them.
Why not?
Well, because you find out some things that don't work with what you're interested in doing, or the people get to try to explain to you how they think you ought to handle your garbage collection. You get a lot of, you know, I think it's okay not to like your neighbors. It's all right to not be. I think the community thing is a little over pushed here. You know, it almost becomes religious that you've got to be community, community, community. I love my community, but I don't necessarily want to be all the time waving a flag. My block party, you know, is happening this week. Come on, everybody, look at my community.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a... there's excellence within the community. You find a good poet or a great guitarist or somebody who can really dance well, and you say, oh, let's celebrate the best of our community. But yeah, oftentimes, particularly in the left, that will be misunderstood as elitism.
Yeah, back, I understand that. And but one thing I would want to say or add to your thing is that so you always have to talk with them, you know?
Yeah.
Hi neighbor, I'm the new neighbor. My name is such and so, and you talk about little things, so you have a sort of basis going on. You don't have to like each other, because he's maybe having a corporate job somewhere. Well, you can, yeah, you talk a little and you just hang over the hedge and talk about corporate shit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, you can work on it, and in a certain space or place or time, you know, you cannot communicate anymore or deeper with that person, but you have some communication going on.
Yeah,
and that's important.
You know, I know a lot of poets and writers, dancers and artists who grew out of the community movement and were rejected by their communities as soon as they started to demonstrate some real talent or excellence, because mm-hmm. it sometimes would threaten the others in the community that were doing fine work, but maybe not being celebrated as much.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are a lot of refugee leftists out there who are looking for community, but are having trouble finding it.
Yeah, well, I understand that problem, because if you're an artist and you're getting some success, people will say, you're going commercial, you're a sellout, you bastard. Well, that's a hard thing, because I know one thing here in the United States, you don't have so wonderful social welfare thing going on here.
Right.
So you really have to work or do the best as you can with your talent to get some money, get your bills paid and stuff like that. So that's a very heavy discussion, but I think people should respect those things more, and people should be more honest about the thing they're doing and trying to have some support. Because if you're real friends, you are real friends together, then you respect the person to be more famous, have more shows booked and stuff like that. It's different when the guy, the big artist, you know, goes all the way like, hey, I'm the big man now, bring in the Jim Beam, come on, honey.
Right.
And, you know, being all badass fucker, blah, blah, blah.
You know, we have a Vietnam veterans movement of soldiers that were against the war when mm-hmm. it was happening. And
there's one right here.
All right. Well, this group is really a fantastic group, but they have internal squabbles about cultural issues, because if you're a vet and you're not doing something culturally about being a vet, in other words, if you were just to make a beautiful abstract sculpture, the mm-hmm. veterans community wonders, hey, is that really about being a vet. And of course, the vet says, I'm a vet and I made this abstract sculpture, so that's veteran's art.
Yeah, sure.
But that's one of the issues. People in the deaf community went through that when they were trying to develop deaf consciousness, you know, deaf theater groups.
Yeah.
And all the theater was always about being deaf in a hearing world.
Yeah.
Some of the deaf...
Whoops.
Hey, what about visual theater? Since that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, one thing is, somebody put a sort of fashion into some kind of art, you know, and it's one individual's input or something, and then it's been carried around like this is our community kind of art. That's bullshit, because in every community you have so much individuals, and you can like each other's stuff, but you never have the same style.
Yeah.
You know, you can work on a topic, like we go, oh yeah, we're gonna paint cars, or we're gonna paint skulls or something,
right,
or flowers, and you're all gonna, yeah, we study that topic, you know, it's very interesting, but it's never gonna be one style for one community.
That's okay, so what about, yeah, what happens when you say, okay, this is a call for diversity, I think is what you're suggesting here. What happens on a community radio station when somebody says, all right, I'm an army recruiter and I want to come in and speak the word of the right-wing fascist side of things? Do you let them on, or do you say, get out of here, we don't like you?
At first we would say, get the fuck out of here, we don't like you. But on the other hand, you can also put up the right-wing assholes, but you have to prepare that very well, because they're not stupid in a way. So, but most of the time, we at home, back in Amsterdam, we say, get the fuck out of here, because I don't want to even put any attention to you, whatever.
This is a good point that I'd like to speak to. I think that we can actually let these folks on the air. Now, just wait a second before you bring out your, you know, start shooting at me. To let them on the air, have our homework done really well about whatever issues we're going to talk with them about. And it's a good way to hold the mirror up to them, hold the mirror up to the community, and let them really hang themselves with their own tongues.
Yes.
As far as, that's one of the big mistakes I think that KPFA makes, and maybe that we make here also, is to keep continuously preaching to the converted. You know, we're pretty much all of like mind and like spirit. If we let it, excuse me, if we let in some of these, you know, right-wing fascist people, what they're going to say is horrible, and we're going to have some real emotional reaction to it. But at the same time, it lets them be real visible. And for me, I would rather have a visible enemy than one that's, you know, more covert.
Yeah.
I.e., the U.S. government is a pretty covert enemy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, in Proposition 209, the anti-affirmative action thing that was up, there were a lot of people on the radio saying, don't vote for that, right?
Right.
But the most interesting one I heard was a guy who called in and said he was a Ku Klux Klan person for Proposition 209. And, of course, this was not a Ku Klux Klan person. This was a person using some humor and wit.
Right, it sounded to me like spoofing the goof.
Yeah, but he did it in such a way that you weren't quite sure.
Exactly, well, that's great.
And you realized that to vote for that initiative was to become like this idiot. And that was a very interesting way to do it, rather than the simple, you know, don't do it, complaining about all the right reasons and et cetera. So,
yeah.
I would like to see a little bit more irony, humor, wit, mystery, and excellence on free radio, of a kind that's culturally appealing and compelling and
a
disturbing.
A bit more fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I really love listening to you talk about Amsterdam, and I hope you come back and stay here and see some redwood trees.
Oh, yeah. But I hope I'm visiting the redwoods before I go home.
All right.
But thank you for your call.
Oh. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
I just want to say one thing. There's a poster hanging here in the studio. It says, and when you're smashing the state kids, don't forget to keep a smile on your lips and a song in your heart. And I think that's a good conclusion for this part.
I think so.
I'm overruling you, Andrew. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right.
This is a hostile takeover.
Yes.
Play some music, Andrew.
Okay, first I wanted just to encourage people to call 464-3041 for more informational support about our free radio station here, Free Radio Berkeley. There's many ways to support the station. Money, of course, is a great way. Work is a great way. Listening, calling in, any kind of et cetera action that you can think of. We're open to all kinds of creative input. We are listening to 104.1 FM, Free Radio Berkeley.
Thank you. She's annoying, no well said. I push this concern. Where do you smile? Where's the light of day? Show me no wonder, but I show you suicide. So what's your smile episode? She and I lost time, we're having some fun. So don't be taking the code. She and I lost time, we're having some fun. But if I was lying to me, their weapons cross my side. Break to the shelf, so where do you decide? Where's our love for life? Show me the wonder of it, I'll show you suicide. So what's yours for every step? Cheating up my side, we're hiding from the sun. So don't pretend you can't go. Cheating up my side, we're having to burn. So it's fun! Only a bad album, such fun. For praise is beautiful, such fun. Only a dream is fun, such fun. Greed is the standing for God. Where's my condition of life? The will is a act of a liar. Where's the ground to us? So where do you decide? Where's the love of life? Show me the wonder, but I'll show you suicide. So what's yours, my episode? Cheating up for our sorrow. We're hiding in such fun. So don't pretend you can't go. Cheating up for our sorrow. We're having such fun. Such fun! We'll be right back.
little Wake Up America tune.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. The tune is called Lightning. And that was from the Blue Humans, featuring Rudolph Gray on guitar, Clear to a Higher Time, the name of the CD. And you're listening to The Colors of Air on Free Radio Berkeley. I'm Andrew Rosenthal. Be here for another 45 minutes at 104.1 FM with my guest from Amsterdam, Legette.
Hello.
Hello. And we've been talking about free radio both here and in Amsterdam, mostly in Amsterdam. I want to quickly jump, though, to an announcement about a big mountain alert.
Mm-hmm.
Come to an informational meeting about the threat of immediate eviction by the U.S. Marshals of the resisting occupants of the Big Mountain area. Review the history of the Big Mountain struggle and hear details about the latest genocidal decree known as the Navajo Hopi Land Settlement Act of 1996, recently signed by, can you guess, Mr. Bill.
Oh!
There's a call for immediate support of self-sufficient individuals with non-violence training who can witness and report threats and intimidation by federal marshals. The meeting is going to be a week from today, next Wednesday, November 20th at 6:30 p.m. at the Long Hall, 3124 Shattuck, here in Berkeley. For further information, you can call 658-9178. Once again, it's at the Long Hall, 3124 Shattuck, at 658-9178, which is also home of the Info Shop, and there is an Info Shop of sorts, which we're going to talk about in a minute, in Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm.
But, Legette, before we get to that, I'd like to ask you just to talk a little bit about the music that we listened to before that little wake-up call we heard.
Yeah. Well, it's about the thing, this is things about what we play on our radio, and we actually recorded a false start. Maybe the listeners heard that sort of the record started on 33 rounds a minute, and it should be at 45 rounds a minute. So you could hear actually our live mistakes. Now, just on tape, of course, but that's how the way it sometimes happens. You know, you're not away quite well. You start up a record, you think, well, this is not what I put on. Huh? Oh, shit, should be on 45. Okay, well, that happens, you know, but it's, yeah, that's human to do.
Of course, that's something I've never done.
Oh, well, you play CDs.
Well, I play the turntables. Right now, the turntables are not feeling very well, but when they're feeling better, I play them a lot, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've got a little announcement to make as well.
Go ahead.
Because I was talking about Little Planet earlier, that I was so happy that there's active people here in Berkeley and area. So I want to tell the address of them, Berkeley Sustainability Nonprofit Community Cafe. Go there, and you don't have to look a certain way. You don't have to act in a certain way. Well, non-sexist, non-whatever I mean. Well, they're located at 3222 Adeline Street, and well, that's here in Berkeley. So again, 3222 Adeline Street, Little Planet. Go there and have a cup of tea.
Is there a phone number there?
I think, yeah, this is the phone number, right?
Right.
It's 547-4840 and check out what kind of lunches they have. This is not a commercial.
No, the Little
Planet. This is a community message.
Right, this is a non-commercial commercial, a community message. The Little Planet Cafe is open from Wednesday through Sunday from 7 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon for breakfast and lunch right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll probably open more hours
later on
when more people come around and want to volunteer there.
Yes, exactly. And actually, you can choose where the profit of what you pay money, of course, for your breakfast or your lunch. It's the half the money you pay or something. The half the money you pay for your breakfast or lunch goes to a good cause, and you can point one of the list. And Radio Free Berkeley is one of them. So if you want to support the radio, have lunch over there at Little Planet and donate the money to Radio Free Radio Berkeley.
Right. For those of you who are familiar, it's the former home of the Brick Hut. Okay, Legette, I wanted to move on a little bit and we'll speak with you just a little bit about, we have an info shop here,
mm-hmm.
which is at the Long Hall, and you have something that sounded very similar to me in Amsterdam. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and what state it's in now?
Yeah. Well, we used to have an info shop. You could also buy coffee and nice muffins and everything vegan, of course, or vegetarian. But they got evicted because most of the squatters community things like bars and restaurants and info shops are most of the time in squatted locations. So when they get evicted, the thing is gone. So that's sort of yeah, pity. But we do have a bookshop still open, and that's just in our lease thing, so that's okay. They're there for years, and they're open every weekday and Saturday, I think, yeah. And you can buy very good books and magazines there, and you can get information there, what's going on and what's not, and stuff like that. And you can also always visit the bar in Amsterdam. It's near Dam Square. That's like the center of Amsterdam, and it's a squat bar called Frankrijk. It's nothing to do with the country France, but it's sort of an old custom. But they used to do in the old days that they named their big buildings after countries, because it's of course a big of merchant thing going on in Amsterdam. You know, all the ships coming in with all kinds of goodies, and they had to call their warehouses or anything a name. So they most of the time use the countries. We actually have a big warehouse. It's a sort of big freezer called America, actually.
Great.
And so it's being squatted right now, too. And they have sort of roller skate things going on there. They have half pipes, quarter pipes there. And actually, the city council is thinking about to legalize it with its contents right now, as the way it is. So that's very, very, very good.
Great. And the name of this bar again is?
Frankrijk.
Which is Dutch for France?
Yeah, exact. We write it with an F. That's the normal way of the country. But we write actually with a V, the V of peace. Well, you can see it. It's very easy to recognize because it's all painted outside. The whole building, it's 4-5 story high, and it's all painted. It has a big mural on it, so you will see it right away. So, and the bar is open from 10 till 2, so everybody's very welcome to go there, and you can get all the information you want. And one other thing I have to add, that there's a lot of people coming over, and they think they can always just knock at the door and squat and go in and sleep, but it's not always true, because a lot of squats are already filled up, piling with people. And the best thing if you go to Amsterdam is to have a friend or somebody who knows you or whatever where you can stay at. So that's the most secure thing. But we also have like very cheap hotel thing going on. It's called Sleep In. I don't know if you're familiar with the thing. Well, it's sort of bunking up with beds and stuff. You can sleep with 4 or 5 or 6 or people in one room, and it's affordable.
So probably if you go to the city center of Amsterdam and you yell at the top of your voice, Free Radio Berkeley, Lejet may hear you and come out and rescue you.
Maybe that's a thing we could do. But if all the listeners go to Amsterdam right now, it will be very busy. So
I'd like for you to, Lejet, please, to speak as much as you can, as you want to, about the whole squatters movement in Amsterdam, or even it's in the whole country and all over the Netherlands, or is it just in Amsterdam?
It's all over the Netherlands, and it's in every city is different. It's the same with free radios, actually, that you have more free radios, of course, in Holland, but every city has its different policy about that. There's one place, and there's also a student city called Leiden, and they actually have an American R in their accent, a dialect, by the way. That's good. You cannot have a pirate radio station there because they raid you right away. And that's a bit strange, but they do that. On the other hand, near the German border, you have two cities, one called Arnhem and the other is Nijmegen. I won't do the hard G, like, I won't shock you.
Nijmegen.
Nijmegen, yeah, right. And they have also two pirate radios, and they're doing also a very good job. It's actually sort of much the same, like Radio Free Berkeley. But the same thing is with squatting. Like, every city has its own policy on that one. So I can talk about Amsterdam, of course, because it's my hometown, and
sure,
I know that one the best.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah. Okay, the squatting thing is, well, what's squatting? Maybe it's just even better to explain what squatting is. Well, squatting is entering an empty building. And most of the time it's a big corporate building. Well, not always. Most of the time it's slumlord's building.
Is that entering an empty building with the intent to live there?
Yes. Entering a building with the intent to live there. Not to break in or just have some hooligan thing going on there. No, just... Yeah, you want to live there. So what you do is you go to a squatter support point. They have in every neighborhood, you have one. And you go there and you're going to discuss, well, I've seen that and that empty, and I want to squat it. What shall I do? Well, they help you out with a lot of tips, like first you go to the city council and try to figure out if the owner has any plans with the building, if there are any leases yet already given out, or if the building is going to be renovated so that the former tenants were moved out because the building is for renovation. If all those things say a yay, you're not going to squat it because something is happening with the building. But if nothing happens with the building and it's empty for a year, at least a year, then you go enter the building and squat it. So you do that with together with a lot of people from the community, the squatters, and also the people, of course, of the helping point.
So then the city council will give you the city council will give you information how long the building has been closed.
Yeah, you just like your a new tenant or something, or you're a big corporation want to buy the building or something like that. You have to do some social engineering over the phone. And you can also go to the Chamber of Merchants or something.
Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, Chamber of Commerce. Well, I was close.
That's close. That's the same.
Yeah, you can also go there and to check out the company or the owner and right. Stuff like that. There's always also what we have in our community is a group of people, a collective, who sort of have investigations about owners. So bad house owners, you know, bad people you rent from. Do they have a bad name? Because sometimes when you squat something, the police I will continue that story first. Okay, you squat something with the help of other people. So say about 25 people during the day, you go in, you have a table, a bed, and a chair. So you live there. So, okay, everything is empty. You put your table, your bed, and your chair there. And then you wait for the police to come. The police comes in and looks if it's really empty. And because of the bed, the table, and the chair, he sees you have house piece there. You live there. So, okay. So they write it down in the report. You live there now. And that's okay. So nothing wrong then. But sometimes you squat something of an owner who is a private owner. And he is sort of a mafia type. He will send some guys around with big sticks or even guns to try to get you out of the place. Well, that happens sometimes, but most of the time we can deal with that.
Can you count on police protection if that happens?
Yes. But not always. Because sometimes it depends on what kind of neighborhood you're in and what kind of cops. Because cops, you cannot trust the cops. That's one golden rule. So we trust on ourselves, our squatting community. Mm-hmm. So when something goes down like that, when an owner sends down some guys to hassle new squatters, then there is mobile telephone, and you just call the first number of a big tree, you know, a phone tree or something like that. So when something goes down, within 10, 15 minutes, the squatters will arrive with helmets and some protection and stuff like that, and maybe even some wood to hit with, some bats to protect the new squatted place. It could be an apartment or a whole building, and so the people feel safe who are there. And sometimes people stay there overnight, you know, to be there with more people than just the few, or the maybe it's even more people who stay there. So
if everything is okay and you've squatted successfully,
yeah,
how long do people usually stay in a squatted building?
That depends on the owner. Because you have the success, okay, everything is okay, but the owner can go to court like, hey, I just found a new tenant, so you have to go now. And they go to court with that reason. Or they say, well, we have to renovate it because it's a very bad state or something, and they go to court. So they have to go to court first, so you have your court case, and you win or you lose. And when you win, they go in appeal again, and then you have another court case, and then if you win, they go another appeal.
So they could use the fact of renovation to kick you out if they wanted to.
Yeah, but they
but
have
then
to
they'll
have
get
proof.
Tied up in court also.
Yeah, yeah, they always end up in court. Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's a good thing because we have a few good lawyers. We used to have way back in the end 70s, beginning of 80s, we had a lot of lawyers who were into it, you know, in the squatting thing, and we're really good, but we only have a few left now, and that's really shit. And there's also young lawyers, but they're not so fanatic as the older ones, but we have a few who are still into it, so. Some reasons to squat. Maybe that's also important. A reason to squat is because you don't have a house. That's very simple. know, kicked out by your parents, or you want to live your own life and stuff like that. And it's very hard to rent an apartment in Amsterdam because it's crowded. Same thing as San Francisco. The rents are top high. It's unbelievable. There's no social, real social housing, because I cannot talk about the rents, but it's too much, you know. I cannot make a comparison or something. So social housing should be very payable, say 10% of your income, you know, something like that. Well, that's justifiable, but it's more than that. It's 50% or even 60% of your income. So that's very heavy, I think. So one reason to squat is because you're homeless. Another reason to squat is to make a political statement to the government, city council. Hey, we need more social housing, and we need more community spaces, you know, for community-based cafes, info shops, those things. Because to rent something on a non-profit base is, you don't have so much income, and rents are very high if you want to buy a shop space or something.
How well do the landlords listen to the statement of squatting?
Not. No. They think only about one thing, the statement of money. Money, 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 etc., etc.
The universal language. What a drag.
Yeah. Your color.
Music is a better music is a much better universal language.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have much more things to tell about squatting, but I think people should phone in and have questions. Maybe that's better to do.
Okay, I have one which I'm curious about for my own reasons and possibly some other people. In fact, the last caller kind of inspired this question. If I'm traveling and I come to Amsterdam and I need a place to stay, mm-hmm. and I don't want to, you know, pay for a hotel, and I want to squat. Is there any way, how could I do that? How can I find out about where I can squat for like 1 day or 2 weeks or?
Well, it's a hard thing to do because all the energy you put in to squat something, it should be for something that's for a longer time, or you have to be there a longer time. But you can always try to go to such a squat help point and say, well, this is my problem. Do you know of any squat who can take me in for those couple of days or whatever? And you can also go to the bar or to the bookstore to ask such questions. So, but it's very hard to squat something just for a day or a week. Right. That's, of course, it's bullshit because it's a long-term thing. You know, if you squat something.
I understand. As someone coming into your country as a foreigner.
A foreigner.
How would I be received, say, at the bar, asking such questions, you know?
Well, it's a question asked a lot of times. So everybody's like, oh, no, not again. That's in first. Mm-hmm. But I think later on they will understand how, what. Because most of the time, when I work behind the bar, you will be treated well. Service with a smile always. But you can also meet somebody behind the bar and says, like, fuck you, not again. Go ask someone else. I'm busy now. So it depends. Yeah, well, the way you feel.
People are people anywhere in the world.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I wanted to say. Yeah.
So if there's anyone who'd like to speak with Legette out there in Radio Land at our community radio station, be an active part of the community right now by calling 665-1978. The number again is 665-1978, and Legette will answer, I'm sure, any question that you might have about Amsterdam, about free radio in Amsterdam, about anything that she has experience with in Amsterdam, and maybe some things that she doesn't have much experience with.
Okay, we're gonna listen to some more music we play on our radio station. I've queued up two tapes, and I don't know which one we already played. I don't think, we finished your CD, The Wake Up Call.
That's right, we finished The Wake Up Call, so you can go with either one. Yes. A, which would you, A or B?
Well, do B.
B it is.
And we go for B. Ladies and gentlemen.
Here's B.